Let's look into the word of the Lord together today. We're simply going to read one verse together. If we can have that on the screen, and I'd like you to read it together with me. It's from Ephesians 4:16. Let's read it together. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Want to share with you today a brief word of encouragement that's simply entitled, Let's Build Harvest Time. Let's build harvest time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word today. Jesus said that the word of God is like seed. And so, Lord, we give you our hearts right now. We ask that our hearts would be good soil, soil that can receive and retain and bear fruit from the seed of the word of God. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen? Well, today's a very special day at harvest time. Once or twice a year, we take a weekend to present a ministry fair. And we value this so highly that we even abbreviate our services a little bit so that everybody can explore the opportunities that we have here at Harvest Time to grow through serving one another. How many of you know it's an amazing thing when the preachers cut their message in half? Amen. But don't applaud too much. Come on. But that's what we're going to do today. So you're going to see a miracle in operation. Amen. In the lower level parking lot, we have 27 different tables with all kinds of ministries represented. And so we want to urge you today to look at these opportunities that we have to serve and grow with us. We want to commend all the ministry leaders and volunteers who've worked tremendously hard to make some really neat displays. And these folks will be on hand to explain to you what all our ministries are about. We're sure that you'll be able to find a place to serve that will be rewarding and enjoyable. We want to encourage you, make an investment of your time and your energy that will produce a great return, not only for your own life, but in the life of the church and in the lives of the people that are sitting close by you today. Church, I believe God has called us to build together. We're building harvest time together, and every one of us has a part to play. Every one of us has something to contribute, something that he or she can do in order to see harvest time become a light to the nations and to see our families and our neighborhoods be blessed as well. There are four keys to building harvest time together, and we're going to share them with you very quickly before we release everybody outside to go to the ministry fair. The first key is this, and it's a powerful one. It's the key of prayer. Prayer. Prayer is what enables us to build on the right foundation. It enables us to build with supernatural power. Prayer is the first key to building our future together because prayer invites God into everything that we do. How many of you know that prayer invites God's presence? Prayer invites God's wisdom into your situation. Prayer invites God's help and his blessing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So inviting God's presence and his help is essential, whether we're talking about building up our own individual lives or our families, and certainly when we're thinking about building up the Lord's church. Prayer invites God into your situation right away. Because the man who prays is acknowledging God simply by that act of praying. Prayer is an act of humility that says, God, I need you and I need your help. That's an act of humility. And the Bible says what? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will what? He will lift you up. He will exalt you. So I believe that as soon as we move in the direction of humility before God in that way, he starts to come on the scene to help us. Prayer is something that anyone can do. You may be here today and you may feel that you're too young or too old or maybe just too busy to serve in the same way that others are serving. And maybe that's true. But prayer is immeasurably valuable and anybody can pray anywhere, anytime. How can we serve through prayer? It's easy to start. Make a list of people to pray for and pray for them daily. I hope you have a prayer list. I know it's a little old-fashioned, but sometimes old-fashioned things are pretty good. Besides your family's needs, pray for your Christian brothers and sisters. Pray for the pastors. We need it. Pray for the Sunday school teachers and the youth workers. Pray for the worship team. Pray for phase two. Ask God for supernatural provision and for supernatural cost savings. We've already seen a lot of that, and we're asking for more. Ask God for supernatural speed in the work. Pray for the spiritual health and the unity of the church. Pray for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will set Christians on fire and see souls saved. All of these things are things that we should be praying for every day. Jump onto our new church website and check out the different opportunities that we have throughout the month to join in the work of prayer with other believers. Talk to Pastor Ruth, our prayer pastor, and see how you can be trained to pray better. Make sure you come out to the Fire in the Night service this coming Friday. Let's unite in prayer as one church family. As I mentioned, schools just started. As you know, the elections are coming up, and we need to lift up a united cry to the Lord. You know, friends, we have so many wonderful promises and encouragements to prayer in the Word of God. Jesus said, "Up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be full." What a great promise that is. The Lord wants us to have hearts full of joy, and that comes, Jesus himself said, through receiving answers to prayer. And that's his encouragement to us to go to him and call upon his name. How will we build harvest time? The first key is prayer. The second key is this: participation. Participation. Participation ensures that we won't get out of joint. What do I mean by that? Let's look again at what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:16. "From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." I want you to notice with me something very important there. The Holy Spirit wants us to know that the body isn't strong just because it has some strong parts. Now, obviously, the individual parts of the body need to work well, but what's really striking to me here in Paul's words is how important are the joints. Growth in the church, Paul's saying, comes not just from healthy parts, but from good, healthy joints and what the joints supply. What are the joints that Paul's talking about? The joints are the connections in the body of Christ. The joints are the places where two parts come together. And the Bible tells us that we are the members or the parts of the body of Christ. And so the joints are the places of connection where the members of the body come together. You tracking with me on this? Because this is good stuff here. Now, Woody Allen said — that may be the first time Woody Allen's ever been quoted from this pulpit, but Woody Allen said, 80% of life is just showing up. There's a little truth to that, but God said it better. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not healthy to isolate yourself, either spiritually or psychologically. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir today because, after all, you all are here. But friends, whenever there's church, be in church. Amen. Be a part of what's happening on our weeknights. Participate. So many good things are happening here on Mondays and Tuesdays and all throughout the rest of the week. You know, if you don't participate in any of those things and all that you do is just pop in to a church service a couple of Sundays a month, then I think you're going to be out of joint. You know, when your foot's out of joint, it's still a foot, obviously, but it can't really do what a foot is designed to do. When a foot's out of joint, it's weaker than it ought to be, and it can't help the rest of the body either because its connections have been damaged. Church, if we are not participating in the life of the body of Christ, we cannot benefit from the connectedness that God wants us to have with our brothers and our sisters. We can't receive the encouragement that we need, and we can't give out encouragement to others either. How many of you know that it's hard to meet people if you don't meet any people? Come to church and, dare I say, bring your kids. Don't let your children absorb on a subconscious level the idea that being in God's house really isn't all that important. Yes, we know there's things to be taken care of at home and we all need to rest and so on. But you know what? The church is the place where we learn Christian teamwork and friendship. And as ministry volunteers, so many of us have learned to pull together for the sake of the eternal goals of the kingdom of God. You know, you go on a mission. I know the video was scary, but if you go on a missions trip like that, guys, you really make solid friendships. You learn to work together. You have the joy of doing something together for the sake of people and for the sake of the kingdom of God. Participating together with people in ministry is where we can see the love of God in action. In the church, you can uniquely be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, part of what God is doing in the world, or we can sit at home. As we go out into the ministry fair in just a few minutes, and as you're walking around the tables and talking to people about different ministries, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, where should I be participating and where should I be making connections? How can we build Harvest Time and make it a strong house? Through prayer, through participation. And the third key is this, giving. Giving. Giving allows us to shape the future. Pastor Glenn likes to say that we give not as a debt we owe, but as a seed we sow. And I think that's pretty good. You know, think about this with me. I don't know if you've ever considered it this way, but when you receive your paycheck every week or every other week, that money represents the value of what you have done. Think about this with me. That paycheck is an acknowledgement of something that you did in the past. But you know, your giving is precisely the opposite. Giving allows you to take something that you have in the present and use it to influence an outcome in the future. Giving has the power to touch and change the destiny of an individual or a family or a church going forward. You know, many times you hear us from the pulpit quoting Jesus' words, "Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over," Jesus said, "men will pour into your lap." And through the blessing of God that we cannot explain, His grace attaches to our seed so that it has a supernatural effect on people and on situations around us. Jesus taught us that somehow, inexplicably, when you give, people will be caused to pour into your life. But we don't give merely in order to receive, although God does promise blessing. We give because we can see important needs. We also give because God is giving us the privilege of partnering, of participating with Him in something that He's doing. So how should we give? We should give with regularity. Be prepared to give something every time you come into the house of the Lord. Be prepared to give the tithe. That's the first 10% of what God blesses us with. We believe that tithing has been God's standard of giving throughout the history of the human race. And if you get connected to God's standard of giving, you'll be more likely to experience God's standard of living. That's pretty cute right there. Amen. But it's true. Whether it was before the law of Moses or under the law, or whether it's now in the age of the church, tithing is the norm for God's people, with offerings and gifts for benevolence above that. You know, truthfully, under the new covenant that we're living in, God may ask us for everything. But I believe that tithing is where God's supernatural favor begins. It may take a step of faith to start to tithe. But once you do it, I believe that you'll see God helping you to do more with 90% than you used to do with the whole 100%. Can anybody testify to that? You know, the well-known financial advice author and radio host Dave Ramsey says, I never see anybody who says, oh, I started tithing and my life fell apart. It's just the opposite. We should give regularly, we should give the tithe, and we should also give to outreaches and projects that help the kingdom of God advance in this world. You know, at harvest time, we obviously have the opportunity to sow into the future and bless this region for generations to come through our sowing into phase two. You know, we can look in the scriptures and see how people gave in the building of the tabernacle. Certainly not equal amounts, but certainly equal shared sacrifice. May it be so with us as well. Let's consider how we can help Harvest Time grow, not in the sense of having a large building per se, but establishing a ministry center that will be an unequaled resource for the gospel in our part of the world. You know, giving changes our hearts, it changes our situation, and it becomes a powerful seed that God causes to grow with kingdom blessings. We can build Harvest Time through our prayers, through our participation, through our giving, and finally this, through our service. Through our service. Worship team, you can come back, please, if you would. You know, God's kingdom is upside down, at least from man's point of view. In the world, you and I know that important people don't have to serve, they are served. But Jesus modeled for us something different. He modeled a different way of life for us. Jesus said, I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And service brings a special closeness to the Lord as we walk in his footsteps. He calls us to live a life like his, not only serving God, but lovingly serving others and putting their own needs before our own. The Apostle Paul tells us, through love, serve one another. I can't explain how it happens, but I know that so many people in this room could testify to the blessing that came into their life when they started to turn their gaze away from just looking at their own concerns and began to think about how they could relieve the burden of their brother in Christ. Our society teaches us from a young age how to be great, how to be number one. But Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, then you must become the servant of all. Prefer one another in love is what the Word of God tells us. Bear one another's burdens. Find a practical need and fill it. Find something that's not so glamorous to do, something that maybe doesn't have a lot of spotlight attached to it, and maybe just be willing to lay down your preferences and do it. You know, we have some ministries in the church that are a little bit unnoticed, that don't get a lot of publicity. They need your help. Cleaning a storage closet or cleaning a kitchen isn't necessarily exciting, and the world doesn't put a lot of value on that. But you know, the world doesn't understand that the Savior of the world was the one who girded himself with a towel and was willing to wash the feet of his followers. That was his example, he said, that they should do the same. Does that mean that we should all literally wash each other's feet all the time? Well, maybe not, but we can all relieve the burden of others and give practical help to people who need relief, who need refreshing, and who need care. And don't worry about getting the credit all the time. You know, God will take care of that. Jesus said, if you merely give a cup of cold water to somebody because they're one of his saints, you will in no way lose your reward. Imagine that. We serve a God who takes note of every little small act of kindness that you've done. Our reward ultimately is from God, and he will be faithful to repay us, all of us, according to our works. How can we build the Lord's church together with him? It will require our prayers. It will require our participation. It will necessitate our giving, and it will certainly need our labor and our service. We have an opportunity before us, you and I, this weekend, to grow in fellowship, to grow in service, and maybe to feel the smile of God's pleasure upon us just a little brighter, and releasing his joy into our hearts as we serve each other together. Church, let's build harvest time. Come on, would you stand with me? Let's give Jesus, the King of Kings, a hand of praise in his house. Come on, give the Lord a great praise.